Greetings. I hope you had a great week. My time in Africa was very blessed. I'm working on several new projects now. I have finished the rough draft of a new book, and I will be publishing it in the near future. There are several things stirring in my spirit to be developed in the coming summer months. The first chapter of Genesis gives an account of what the creation of our world looked like from God's perspective. The story actually goes through Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. When there was a need for a beginning, God saw an end and declared the beginning to be. Because God gives life, breath, and all things, a situation that is formless, void, and dark is a perfect environment for God to create a world of destiny. This account in Genesis is a description according to God's vision and God's covenantal nature of love. It is not about science or literal facts of creation of a natural world. It is about God's plan according to what He sees and what He desires to express in our world. The 6 days of creation culminated with God's best creation, mankind, in the likeness and image of God in heaven. Man was to be the ruling agent as God's likeness and image in the world that would bring God's life wherever the soles of his feet would go. God's blessing was on mankind, male and female. They were to be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, and have dominion in the earth. This was the mandate that would fulfill God's will in the world and bring the influence of God's kingdom to the generations of mankind. Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." The mandate of mankind was given by God to the substance of himself in the earth. That substance was the masculine and feminine expression of who God is, made known in earthly form. The creation of both male and female from the substance of the Spirit of God was to be the source of the mandate. They were to be one flesh comprised of dual expressions of the nature of God. God is both a giver of life and a nurturer of life. Mankind was the antidote to everything that is formless, void, and dark. They were to be rooted in the Spirit of God to be an expression of God in earthly form. By this, they could be fruitful, multiply, and fill as living creatures do, but they could also subdue and have dominion as only mankind was destined to do. The testimony was to be one of authority and not merely power. Authority always gives life, while power alone grasps to take life from others. Mankind, male and female, were to be givers of life, not takers of life. By this, they could give life to formless things, and the order of life would unfold. They could fill anything void with life, and thus fullness would prevail. They could bring light to darkness, and light would arise. This would only be possible through intimacy with God as a living, growing extension of His family in the earth. Mankind would reveal a family tree, if you will, exhibiting the overcoming power of God as the tree of life. They would subdue by being givers of life to their world. They would exercise dominion by manifesting the truth of God's life that would destroy every lie of death. When man chose the external rule of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he/she disconnected from the source of what would empower them to subdue and have dominion. Thus, the blessing on man after the flood was only to be fruitful, multiply, and fill, Genesis 9:1. They lost their ability to subdue and have dominion. To subdue is to destroy death with life, and to exercise dominion is to crumble every lie with truth. A relationship with God is a relationship with life. A relationship with life will produce a family tree of life. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, they chose an administration of human wisdom and forsook a relationship of trust and love for God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the only tree in the garden that made man smart. It made man independent of God. It left man with a stronghold in their hearts and minds. That stronghold was one of needing to be right. If man can have enough information of good and enough information of evil, They can make good decisions, be a good person, and live a good life doing good things. With this administration, the worst thing that man can be is wrong. Therefore, they are always seeking to be right according to their own wisdom. When mankind embraced an administration of human wisdom, they embraced a disconnection from the true wisdom of God that leads to and brings forth life. Natural sight became more dominant than faith. What they could see became more important than what God says. This seeing included their natural hearing, their feelings, their own perceptions, and their own imaginations. The result was the loss of the ability to bring life to the formless void and dark places of the earth. God became our salvation in our world when he became a man, Jesus, God's gift of love for us all. He came to restore the mandate of mankind, male and female, in our world. Blessings, Ted J. Hansen.